here today because I believe that God wanted to give Four Points a challenge. Are y'all up for a challenge today? I hope so. I hope so because I believe that God has given me a word for you as an individual and for us as a group. I am here today to issue a challenge to you. I believe that we have come to a place in our society where we have enough knowledge, and in the church, we have enough biblical knowledge. We know the right things. I believe that in our society, there is enough of, come on, you can do it, and not enough of, so when are you going to start? And so I'm here today to say, we're going to start. We're going to start today. And so the challenge that I want to issue you today comes from a place of love. And I believe that's where most of the best challenges in life come from, is a place of love. And this is the challenge that I want to issue to you today because I believe it is universal. It's the challenge to believe that every single minute of every single thing that you have ever gone through or will go through has a purpose and a meaning for your life, even if the situation is painful. Even if it is not what you would have planned or desired for your life, I believe, and I want by the end of today's message us all to believe this, that pain is part of the process that moves us into our purpose. Amen. I can look across this room today, and I know that some of you have some very deep hurts as part of your stories. Some of you are still walking through those hurts, trying to process them, trying to figure out, okay, God, what are you doing and why are you allowing this to happen? But some of you I look at and I have no idea what you have been through. But because you are a human being, I can guarantee this. Every single person under the sound of my voice today has something in your life in this very moment that is not going the way that you want it to go or planned for it to be. Amen? That's a universal. We all have something in our lives that is not going the way that we wanted it to go. But pain is part of the process. Now, when I talk about the word pain, let me break that down a little bit. I'm not just talking about physical pain, although I know for some of you that is very much a part of your story. Some of you right now in this moment are experiencing physical pain. But for others of us, it's not a physical pain, but perhaps an emotional wound that is the pain in our lives today. Some of you, the pain in your lives might be the person sitting next to you. Right? Just keeping it real. It might be a relational pain. It might be a financial pain that you are walking through where your bank account is empty and there is no check coming in sight. Your pain might be an emotional pain. It might be an addiction. It might be the pain of your past. I don't know what it is, but I know that it is part of your story. And because I am a person who always needs a challenge, I am issuing the challenge to you today to understand, not just understand, but really believe and grasp that God has a purpose for that pain, whatever it is, whatever it looks like. God has a purpose for your pain. So what is your pain today? Guys, it's tempting when we come into a building like this, when we come into a church and gather with other believers, the temptation is there to put on a happy face and pretend that everything is okay. And I know that it is not. I know that some of you come in here today with great burdens. And so I want you, if you will, to let your mind go there today. During this time that we're gathered together, yes, we can have an amazing time of worship and we can praise the Lord together. But praising the Lord doesn't mean denying the reality of what happens the rest of our week. God's desire is for us to come into this place and as brothers and sisters in Christ to hold each other up, right? I'm going to put in a plug for our small groups. Tonight, we're having our big game small group kickoff. I have to slow down and think about that. And it's where we give you all the information about all the small groups that we offer. Do you know why we have small groups? We have small groups so that we have people in our lives who can look at us and say, I know you're not okay. What can I do to help you? That's why we want you to do life together. That's one of our core values here at Four Points. So this morning, I want you to let your mind go to the places that hurt. I have asked the Holy Spirit to allow those things to rise up in you today, not for you to deny that they are happening, because I believe that He wants to deal with them this morning. So I'm going to show you guys a short video here in just a second that I believe perfectly illustrates everything I'm going to be talking about today. It's a video that has three components that I want you to pay attention to. Okay, this is your homework, ready? I want you to pay attention to what the challenge is. I want you to notice what the pain is. And of course, what the result is. The challenge, the pain, and the result. Okay? All right, y'all watch this video. The ending of that video gets me every time. Anybody who has ever attempted a box jump, you know just how she feels, right? Woo, talk about it. So what was the challenge? The challenge was the jump, okay? What was the pain? She kept falling over and over. She kept falling, but what was the final result? She made it. Anybody else holding their breath at the end like, you can do it. You can do it. The challenge was the jump, the pain was the fall, but the result was she ultimately got it. Now, I don't know if that's her dad or her coach. I'm going with dad just because it makes for a better story. So I'm going with dad. But I love her dad's reaction at the end, right? When he swoops her up, gives her a big bear hug. But you know what I love even more than that? Right before she made the jump, when he comes over and he gives her a little extra coaching. It's my favorite part, right? Like, you can do this. Pain is part of the process that moves us into our purpose, yes? Here's what I love about that video. She tried and she tried and she tried and she tried. Now, some might argue that her dad should have stopped her because she was going to hurt herself, right? Like a loving father wouldn't have allowed her to get hurt. I'm not sure that's true because if that were the case, none of us would have ever learned to walk, right? Nobody in here would ever have learned how to ride a bicycle. So I'm not convinced that a loving father prevents us from ever hurting. See where we're going? Yeah. The dad in the video stands just out of the frame. I think that's probably one of the most powerful parts of the video as well. So he's just out of frame, right? You can't see him the whole time she is trying to make that jump. But what is he doing? He is standing there and he's watching. And if you're a parent, you know that he's jumping with her, right? My daughter used to do competitive gymnastics, and I was out there doing the floor routine with her. Like I was swinging on the bars with her every move she made. I was doing it with her, and that dad stands just out of frame. And why does he allow her to struggle? So that she can ultimately overcome the obstacle that she didn't think she could overcome. He could have stepped in, and he could have just set her on top of the box, or he could have picked her up and said, you know what, baby? You gave it your best. I'm really proud of you. But instead, he allowed her to fall and to fall and to fall and to fall. Why? So she could ultimately overcome. And that is a word for somebody in here today who feels like you are falling repeatedly, and you're wondering, when is this ever going to end? I'm here to tell you that at some point, your father will give you a little extra coaching, a little extra nudge, and you will make the box jump that he has put inside of you to make if you will not give up. If you will not give up. Here's what that video teaches us. Struggle accomplishes in us what simple success cannot. I have no doubt, if I were to talk to her today, she knows what she is capable of. She knows what she can do, and she could never have become the overcomer that she is now had she not struggled. We want simple success, don't we? We want to be able to get it the first time. We want easy things to happen in our lives, but if that is the case, if we are allowed simple success, we will never become who we were meant to be. We will never become the overcomers that Christ created us to be. You see, it takes the struggle. It takes a struggle to accomplish in us what simple success cannot. Now, before we go any farther, go back to the premise that pain is part of the process, right? I want to make sure that you understand that I chose the word process on purpose. You see, I didn't say that pain is part of the plan. And I think that's sometimes where we go astray, is that we believe that God is on high and that he has plotted our pain, that he is the one instigating our struggles. And I don't believe that's true. The reason I don't believe that's true is because I believe 1 John 1:5 that says God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. I believe that same book of the Bible where it says God is love. So I don't believe that he is plotting our pain. If he doesn't plot it though, why does it exist? Everybody say the word agency. Agency. The reason that pain exists is because God loves us enough to give us agency. Agency simply means the ability to choose. It's free will. So think about the dad in the video. He gave that little girl agency, right? She had the ability to choose whether or not she was going to keep jumping. It was ultimately her choice. You can't make a child do a box jump. He gave her agency. Our Father has given us agency as well. Because he loves us, he gives us the ability to choose. And I hear people say all the time, why does a good God allow bad things to happen? And the answer, as confounding as it is love. God allows bad things to happen because he loves us enough to let us choose. And ultimately, when Adam and Eve were allowed to choose their own actions, they chose sin. Sin entered the world. And because of sin, we have those pains and we have those hardships. But you have to connect the dots and look back and realize it's because of love. I came across a quote that I think is so incredibly powerful. Y'all listen to this. This is from Madeleine L'Engle, the author of A Wrinkle in Time and many other books. She says, a God who allows no pain and no grief also allows no choice. There is little unfairness in a colony of ants, but there is also little freedom. We human beings have been given, and I love this, the terrible gift of free will. It is the ability to choose which makes us human. If you're asking in your life today, God, why are you allowing this to happen? He's allowing it to happen because of love. That doesn't mean you have to understand it today, but you have to trust. God does not plan our pain, but he always gives it a purpose. So in January, I started reading back through the Bible in a year, which I've done several times now. So every day I read from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. And in January, I was reading through Genesis, of course, and part of what I read was the story of Joseph. And I think his story is one that has huge implications for us today. So this is not the Joseph that was Jesus' stepfather. This is the Joseph of the Old Testament, okay? One of the sons of Jacob. And I just want to hit some of the highlights of his life. If you want to read the story of his life, you can start in Genesis 37. But these are some of the highlights. So he was the youngest son of Jacob, and he was the favorite. He's the one who got the coat of many colors, right, that Dolly Parton went on to sing about. When he was about 17 years old, he had a dream that all of these bundles of grain around him bowed down to him. And because he was 17, he decided it would be a good idea to go brag to his brothers about it and say, hey, your bundles of grain are going to bow down to my bundle of grain, which means that I'm going to rule over you. And because his brothers were brothers, they decided, you know what? We're going to kill you. We're going to get rid of you. And so one of the brothers spoke up and said, I'm not sure it's a great idea to kill him. Let's just sell him. So that, you know, that was a good thing, from death to slavery. He's sold and he becomes a slave for one of Pharaoh's guards in the house of Potiphar. And scripture says throughout the story of Joseph that God was with him. I think that's so powerful. God was with him. And so he became successful even as a slave in Potiphar's house. And he's put in charge kind of as the overseer of the house. He's given numerous responsibilities. But then, of course, something terrible happens. Potiphar's wife wants to be with him biblically. And he refuses to be with her biblically. And so she gets upset and she accuses him of raping her. Of course, since he is a slave in the house, it's believed that that is true. He is thrown into prison. But again, it says in scripture, God was with him. And so eventually he becomes in charge of all of the prisoners. While he's there, the chief cupbearer and the baker are thrown into prison as well, and they have some dreams, and they want an interpretation, and Joseph interprets the dreams. And so when those guys get out of prison, Joseph says, please remember me. They, of course, forget him. So 2 more years are wasted in prison for Joseph. But then Pharaoh needed some dreams interpreted. And so he interprets the dreams for Pharaoh correctly, dreams that there will be 7 years of feast and then 7 years of famine. He tells Pharaoh, Pharaoh is so happy. He puts him in charge of everything essentially in Egypt except himself, okay? So he becomes a very powerful man. And because of the interpretation, Joseph is put in charge of the food situation in Egypt. So for 7 years, he gathers food so that Egypt won't starve during the next 7 years of famine. Now, he is approximately, at this time, 44 years old. Remember how old he was when he was sold? 17. Okay? He was 17 when he was sold. He is 44 now. And his brothers show up looking for food, right? Everybody's starving. So his brothers show up looking for food. And this is Joseph's chance to get revenge. Those of you who have a brother or sister, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, this is it. Gonna get back at him. Except that's not what Joseph does. He has the perfect opportunity to get revenge on his brothers, but instead, he chooses to show them grace and forgiveness. And guys, I cannot get over the fact that after 27 years as a slave, even though he had some high moments, right? He had a roller coaster life. He was always subject to what was happening in Egypt with Pharaoh. For 27 years, the bitterness didn't grow in him. God worked in him. And look at what he says to his brothers. I cannot get over this. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Joseph understood that his pain was part of the process that got him to his purpose to save the people of Egypt. His purpose, get this, was larger than his pain. Now, it's easy when we read scripture to look at it and say, yeah, but everything turned out okay. Y'all, he didn't know that. Joseph did not know how his story was going to turn out. He did not know that he would become successful and that he would be put in charge of numerous things in Egypt. Do you know what he knew? God. He knew God. And that was enough. His pain was not the largest thing in his life. His purpose was. My sisters and I used to share a bathroom. There are three of us, okay, three sisters. And I wanted to kill them sometimes just because they took too long drying their hair, right? Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and he said, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. Forgive yourselves. What a lesson from Joseph today. Now listen, I'm not going to tell you this morning that that pain, that struggle, that hardship, whatever it is that you came in here with this morning, I'm not going to tell you it's ever going to go away. I can't promise you that. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, right? Never went away. I cannot promise you that God is going to take your struggle from you. It might last 27 years. It might last a lifetime. It might end tomorrow. But when we're in a time of stress, when we are in a time of pain and hardship, and there's something that we want to change in our lives, we just want it to end, right? And sometimes we think, you know, this must be proof that God doesn't love me. I think you can look at the story of Joseph and realize that's not true. God loved Joseph enough, and he loved the people of Egypt enough to allow Joseph to be sold into slavery so that people could be saved. God loves you enough to allow whatever it is you're walking through because he sees the ultimate purpose for your life. So it's not a lack of love that's the reason that you're going through what you're going through today. Sometimes we think, well, maybe God does love me, but he's displeased with me. Perhaps, but perhaps not. When we are hurting, we just want the pain to go away, right? Here is a lesson for us this morning. The change in us comes not through the removal of the struggle, but in a renewed perspective of it. That is what we need today. We need a new perspective of our pain, that this is not just about this moment in time and this very thing that's hurting me. It's part of a larger story. It is part of a grander plan that God has for my life that I'm just not yet privy to. And that's where trust comes in. That's where faith comes in. That's where we have to exercise the belief that God is always and forever good, even when we are hurting. Anybody in here nearsighted? Okay. I am blind as a bat without my contacts. I'm one of those people who, when I'm in the bed at night, I cannot read the alarm clock. That's how blind I am. That's called myopia, just in case you don't know. The scientific name for nearsightedness is myopia. And here's the thing. When we are in a time of pain, we become myopic, don't we? That pain, whatever it is, that's the thing that's right in front of us that we can see most clearly and that we are paying attention to. We become so fixated on that thing, that experience, that emotion, that everything else around us becomes blurry. It reminds me of several years ago. I had a staph infection in my finger. Don't really know how I got it. I have an idea, and it has to do with this guy. I was cleaning for him in his garage. I think that's where it came from. Doesn't really matter. It's not an important part of the story. But I developed a staph infection in my finger, and it got swollen and red and hot. And it was one of those pains where you can feel your heart beat in it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, woo, woo, woo. That's all I could think about was that stupid little finger that was hurting so badly. I could not concentrate on my work. If I was trying to read a book, I couldn't pay attention. It just hurt. And finally, Angela, the nurse, said, Jenny, you probably ought to go to the doctor. So I did. They had to lance it. I'll spare you the details. It was grotesque. But that is what finally alleviated the pain. But when I had that infection in my finger, that little pain ruled my life. That was the story for those days, was the pain in my finger. Is that the story for you this morning? The struggle in your life? Have you become so myopic that that's all you can see? If so, think about this. How often do we resent our pain and fail to see God's provision in it? Whew. Here's what I know to be true. When we are hurting physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, when we are hurting, yes, that pain is real. And I am not trying to diminish the pain that anybody in here is facing. If you have a pain, it is real. But don't let the pain become so large that you fail to see God's provision in the midst of it. Because here is the truth. He is trying to show you something about himself, about yourself, about his kingdom, about his character, about who he is. He is trying to teach you something in the midst of that pain. But if you become so hard-hearted like Pharaoh, you won't see the provision. I should have been thankful that that staph infection didn't spread to the rest of my bloodstream, right? But in the moment, was I thankful? No. I was only resentful of that pain, and I just wanted it to go away. How often do we resent our pain and fail to see God's provision in it? We have to learn how to see God in the midst of what we don't ask for and want. He is there. He is unchanging. He is good. He is love. He is light. And in him there is no darkness. But if we become blinded and clouded to the reality of who he is, we will forget all of that. Looking across this room this morning, I see people who I know. And I know some of you are experiencing true physical pain. I know some of you are desperately wishing for a child. And month after month, the answer is no, we're not yet. I see people in here I know are struggling to pay bills. You don't know how you're going to pay your mortgage next month. I know some of you struggle with addictions, anxiety, depression. Some of us this morning are carrying very heavy weights. There are others that I don't know what you're carrying. I might look at you and think you have it all together, and you would say, oh, but Jenny, I don't. I want you to know that your pain is real. And regardless of how intense it is at this moment, whether very intense or only minimally intense, it matters. It matters. It matters to you. It matters to your purpose. It matters to the kingdom. It matters to God. And he has not forgotten you. There's probably somebody this morning who is thinking, yeah, but I just need a break. Have you ever thought that in the midst of a hardship? I just need a break. And I know because I've been there. I have cried uncle. Anybody? Your dad used to tickle you and you had to cry uncle to get out of it? I have cried uncle in the midst of a hardship and said, God, I just need a break. But how about this? When we think we need a break, perhaps the real need is to be broken. Can anybody look back over their lives and thank God for what he allowed you to walk through?
Yes.
That's my testimony. Sometimes the real need in our life is not to have our pain alleviated, but to be broken. To be broken so we can be rebuilt in his image, so that we can know the true purpose he has for our lives. It makes me think of my younger sister, Stephanie. She had a baby girl in November of 2017, so she's just a little over a year old. She had her, and then 6 days later, fell down the steps, shattered her ankle, dislocated it, bringing down Christmas decorations, because that's what everybody should do 6 days after they give birth, right? Bring down Christmas decorations. So for over 6 weeks, she was immobile. She could not walk across the room to pick up her newborn baby. She couldn't do anything for herself. I got to be the babysitter. It was a real special time. Caroline and I have a special bond. But Stephanie could not do anything for herself. But today, she would tell you that she thanks God for that literal period of brokenness in her life, because what it did was it slowed her down from a frenetic pace that she did not need to be keeping up. She can tell you today, God used that experience to show me the power of community. Her friends, her coworkers rallied around her. They provided meals. They did everything that she needed. The power of family became even more real for her. But not just physical needs being taken care of, spiritual needs. She has said, Jenny, God whispered to me in those moments of brokenness where I would not have otherwise been able to hear him. Because my life was so loud, I couldn't hear what he was trying to teach me. He changed, and she will tell you this, the trajectory of her life. That experience led to a career change for her. It was a powerful moment. When she was in the midst of it, I was there with her on a daily basis. She would cry and say, "This is so unfair. I just want to walk across the nursery and change Caroline's diaper." Who says that, right? Who says, "I just want to change a diaper"? She did, because she wanted what she expected. Yeah. We have this picture, don't we, moms, of what our postpartum experience is going to be like? It's not. We all have this image in our minds, and she did. And she said, "It's just not fair." But today, she says, "Thank you, God, that you loved me enough to allow that to happen." Did God stand at the top of the stairs and push her down? No. It's called gravity and clumsiness, okay? They're results of the fall. But God allowed that to happen to her, and he used that pain as part of the process to get her to her ultimate purpose. Now, your purpose and my purpose, please don't equate that with your job. Your purpose is not to stand on a stage and preach. Your purpose is not to write a book. Your purpose is not to be a teacher or a nurse. Your purpose is not to be an IT guy. Your purpose is surrendering fully and completely to the workmanship of Jesus Christ in your life, being made in his image. That's our purpose. And so God will allow whatever pain needs to come into our lives to be part of that process. He will allow it to happen. When we think we need a break, perhaps the real need is instead to be broken. Our pain is just a small piece of the puzzle. God has a huge, wonderful, beautiful plan for our lives. And our pain is a small piece, but because we are not privy to the whole picture, we begin to reject it. We begin to resent it and say, "God, this doesn't feel good, so how can it be good?" And God says, "You don't see the whole picture." With Joseph, he didn't see the whole picture. With Stephanie, she didn't see the whole picture. Our pain is not something that we should resent just because we don't understand it. When we reject what we don't understand, we are questioning, we are doubting the goodness of God's plan. This morning, whatever it is that you're looking at in your life and thinking, this should not be, perhaps it should not, but can I tell you, God's going to use it anyway. When we reject it just because we don't understand it, we're saying, "God, I am wiser than you." And that's a dangerous place to be. We doubt the goodness of God's plan. And ultimately, dare I say, we are doubting the very goodness of God. I'm not saying that we can't hurt. I'm not saying that we can't allow human emotion into our lives. But I'm saying we can't allow human emotion to be the boss. We can't allow that to be the defining force in our lives. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 16. We're going to look at some scripture that speaks to this very thing. So in Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And what he's doing is he's telling them what to expect for the coming days, what to expect with his life. And so he tells them the plan. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Do you know rebuke means to scold? He's scolding Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Now, it's easy for us to look at Peter and just think of him as being a hothead, right? Just reacting out of emotion. But put yourself in Peter's shoes. Your spiritual leader is leaving. Your spiritual leader is saying, "I have to go and be killed." None of us would want that for our spiritual leader, would we? We wouldn't want that for anybody. We don't want that for our friends. We don't want that for people we know to leave. We don't want to suffer. Peter is rejecting, get this, the plan because of the pain that's involved. The pain for him personally, the pain for his Savior, the pain for Jesus. He rejects it and he says, "No, this shall never happen to you." Don't judge Peter because you're Peter and I'm Peter, right? We look at the pain and we reject the plan. And so this is what Jesus does. He turns and he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Those are strong words, right? He doesn't even call him Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." I think that's one of the most scathing rebukes in all of Scripture, because he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Is he literally saying that Peter has turned into Satan? No. What is Satan's goal in the lives of you and me and every believer? To thwart the plans of God. And so when we attempt to thwart the plans of God, as Peter did, we are behaving as though we were Satan. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is in the wrong place. Your perspective is on the pain and not the purpose." What was the purpose? The purpose was the crucifixion, right? The purpose was the resurrection. But Peter wasn't privy to that, so he just rejected it outright. There is something in your life today that is part of a greater plan that you're rejecting because you're not privy to it, because you don't understand it, and it doesn't make sense, and you just want the pain to be alleviated. And God says, "You haven't seen the whole story yet. You don't know all the details." We have to learn to live in the pain until and unless God removes it. And how do we do that? We have to train ourselves to trust. Everybody say the word train. Train. Okay. The word train has a very distinct meaning for me right now. I am training right now for my third marathon. Whew, that's right. And it's getting rough, y'all. I'm just telling you. We have 4 weeks to go. Just in case you don't know, a marathon is where you run, not walk, okay, run 26.2 miles. So essentially it's running from here to Furman and then having six more miles to go. It's quite the distance, okay? So we're training and we're working hard. And I decided that this go-round, I wanted to be a beast. Those of you who are athletes, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you just want to beast it. And so I decided that I would not just log the miles, but that I was really going to work my tail off. And that in addition to logging the miles, I was also going to do a lot of strength training. I want to be as strong as I can be. And to do that, I have to train. I have something I want to show you. So this is my training plan. I don't know if you can see all the individual cells. It doesn't really matter if you can or not. But this is the 18-week plan that I've been following. We're on week 14. Okay, we're almost there. The race is a month from yesterday. And so what happens is during the week, you have these shorter runs. Friday, you have a rest day. Saturday is what's called your long run. And so you build and you build and you build towards the 26.2. But this is what I want you to understand, because I think this is going to mean something for somebody in here. So I started with 6 miles, went to 7, dropped back to 5, okay? Come on down here a little bit. Last week, I did 18. Yesterday, I did 14, dropped back. Next week, 20. You don't just increase your mileage each week. What do? You build and you build, and you drop back. You build and you build and you drop back. Does it ever feel in your life that you're taking three steps forward and two steps back? It's built into training. It's part of the training process. Why? So you can recover. So you can recover. So the strength that you've been working so hard to build can fully take root. So the muscles that are fatigued can have a short break. Now, I want you to understand that I don't get much time off, right? You see this. There's not much time off. On those days that say rest, I'm doing my strength training. Those of you who have ever lifted weights, you understand this, Blake. I see you, right? When you start training, when you start strength training, you start out small, right? You start out with what's manageable to you. When I first started, this little 3-pound guy, if you do enough reps, what happens? You get tired, right? It's not necessarily about the amount of weight that you're lifting, but how often you're doing it, how often you're repeating. But this is what I've learned both in running and in strength training. That what was once impossible has now become my norm. That was once impossible, it has now become my norm. Why? Because I have trained. Listen to this definition of train. To teach a particular skill through practice over a period of time. We want it to happen immediately, right? But nobody decides one day, you know what, I think I'll go run 26 miles today. It's not how it works. You have to slowly, incrementally build. The same is true with your weights. You slowly and incrementally build. The same is true with your faith. You slowly and incrementally build until what was once impossible becomes your norm. God is trying today to train you for something he has prepared for you as part of his plan for you. But if you don't trust the process, you will remain too weak to ever accomplish it. What was once impossible has become my norm. Now listen, this morning we are all carrying a weight, right? Whatever that pain, that struggle, that hardship is that you thought about earlier, let it come back to mind now. We're all carrying a weight. Some of us, we're in an easier season where the weight is lighter. It's still there. We still have it, but it's more manageable. Some of us are carrying a heavier weight where as we're lifting it, we're trembling, right? Like, I don't think I can do it anymore. I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling faint. God says, trust the process. Trust the process. Trust the process. There is a weight on you this morning. And that weight has a goal. What is the goal of lifting weights? To become what? Stronger. To become stronger. God has allowed that weight into your life this morning because he is trying to build not physical strength in you, but spiritual stamina. I read this quote. I'm a quote person. From a runner that I follow. And she says, the race always hurts. Expect it to hurt. You don't train so it doesn't hurt. You train so you can tolerate it. Life is going to hurt. We live in a fallen world. There is always going to be something you wish that you could change, something that you wish you could get rid of. The pain is always going to exist. But why do we train? We train so we can endure. So that when we get to the end of our lives, our Heavenly Father can look at us and say, well done. Done. You ran that race with endurance. Shannon chose that quote this morning at our volunteer rally. She had no idea I was talking about running and racing. Run your race with endurance. That's the goal. That is the goal. What is God asking you to trust him with this morning? What is he asking you to trust him with? Because here's what we have to understand. Skipping a bunch here. The salvation is a gift of grace. But trust is a muscle we exercise. Salvation is a gift given to us, just like our bodies are given to us, right? I didn't create my own body. It was a gift. But to keep it in shape, I have to exercise it. Trust is a muscle we exercise as well. How do we exercise the muscle? By giving God opportunities to prove himself trustworthy. Is it in your finances? Maybe you don't trust God with your money. You say, God, I don't have enough money to give back to you. I don't have enough money to give to church. He says, trust me. How will you ever know if you don't try it? Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's in your physical health. God, I just can't get healthy. I can't get well. I can't get stronger. Trust the process. Take it one day at a time. In your relationships, I don't believe that person is trustworthy in my life anymore. How will you know unless you give them the opportunity? God is asking you this morning to exercise trust in Him. Why? So you can build the trust that's part of the process that gets you to your purpose even when it hurts. Our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose is to love Him and to love each other. And every amount of pain that you're going through this morning is for that purpose. I'm going to ask you guys to do something really quickly. I want you just to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and let yourself go there to the place that hurts. To the place where you are struggling to trust that God is good in or even present in. Allow yourself to think about this morning. And you don't have to repeat this out loud, but I want you to repeat in your minds to your Father, God, I know you are good. I might not understand, but I'm choosing to trust you in this. I'm choosing to lay this down and to relinquish this because I know that your purpose and your plan for my life is better than anything I could dream up. I'm going to trust your process even though this particular part is painful. I want to pray for you this morning and then we're going to worship and close. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that you have trusted us enough, loved us enough to allow us to hurt. Seems so backwards to say that, God. But it's because you have given us the terrible gift of free will that we even get to choose. And this morning, Father, we are choosing to trust you even in the places that we don't understand. Lord, we want to be strong in the faith. We want to have endurance to run this race as you have asked us to do. And so we just want to lay these things down at your feet. We trust you, God. We're exercising the muscle of trust this morning. I want you to keep your eyes closed. I just feel like the Lord is saying that there are people in here who need to respond. And here's what I want you to know. You will never trust the pain that's part of the process if you don't know Christ as the Savior. And if that's you this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want to introduce you to Him. There are people here who want to tell you about Him. If you want to learn more about Jesus, if you want to trust Him this morning, just show me by raising your hand. If you need a brother or a sister to help you exercise the muscle of trust this morning, we have people who want to help you with that too. If you're struggling this morning and you need a touch from God, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Father, you are good. You are greatly to be praised. And we're going to stand to our feet and proclaim that you are who you say you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.